morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk right here on 91.5 KUNV Las Vegas. It's 7 a.m. Usually we're on at 8, but they've moved up to 7 all the way through. So thanks for waking up an hour early to talk sports with the guys from the Las Vegas Sun, alongside Taylor Byrne, our UNLV guy, Case Kiefer, our utility player. We're here to break down UNLV football's devastating, humiliating, humbling, shocking, and surprising loss to Northern Arizona this past Saturday. They lose by a field goal, but damage done. Lower-level team beat you on your home field. You blow a double-digit lead. Definitely leads to a black eye. And if you read the message boards on LasVegasSun.com, they're calling for Coach Bobby Houck's head. They're calling for directions to be printed out to the unemployment office. Taylor Byrne, you're there. Obviously, the team's spirits are down.
And it's just an ugly scene completely. You know, UNLV came out in the first 20 minutes and dominated. You know, I didn't expect this to ever be like a 28-point victory for UNLV or something like that. I think I had like 13, but early on, or no, like 17. But early on, it looked like that's just where they were heading. Cornette broke that 42-yard touchdown. They were getting everything they wanted offensively. Defense looked, you know, pretty good. And then as soon as NAU stopped the run, everything just collapsed. Instead of coming back with another counterpunch, UNLV just laid down. And that has got to be the most disheartening thing for everybody involved with the program and everybody watching it. Ray, you were in the stands for this one. I can't imagine what it was like to just sit there and, you know, with most people having paid for a ticket and just watch this happen. This is probably worse than the Southern Utah game. I think if you could argue both sides, but NAU, I follow 1AA football a little bit. They might finish sub 500 in their own league in the Big Sky. You know, this was UNLV to me was clearly the better team on the field Saturday, which makes this, you know, even more troubling. I know you don't necessarily agree with that, but to me, UNLV had the pieces to win this, and that they floundered that away is, you know, maybe worse than if it was still just only recruiting was stopping it.
Yeah, NAU, mind you, had lost by 60 points the week prior to Arizona State.
Yeah, but that the only caveat I'll give with that is in that game, NAU went in with its starting quarterback and starting running back and lost them both early. So they had to, you know, throw in Cartwright, who as a sophomore, UNLV game was his first start, which, you know, certainly isn't going to make any Rebels fans any happier. Maybe that's worse. I don't know if
much worse. I think
you know, but the fact that NAU in the game where they lost 63-6 to Arizona State, they had to like scramble. This one, they, you know, came in a bit more prepared, but they still, it's, and I'm a bit flabbergasted by it.
Yeah, it's definitely confusing. The bottom line is that we thought UNLV would be a better team this year. The players told us they'd be better. The coaches hinted that they would be better.
And
we looked at the pieces, and they appeared to be better.
Say players and coaches say that every year. But it also – it looked to be true.
And not just to me, a graduate of UNLV, to outsiders and objective people as well.
Everybody around the program – you know, this wasn't supposed to be like a bowl year by any means. But, you know, we talked before the season that this wasn't this wasn't Bobby Houck – you know, fighting for his job unless the bottom fell out. Well, two games in, the bottom fell out.
They've got a pair of losses by 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
They were in both games, and arguably they should have won the Northern Arizona game, obviously. The Minnesota game they could have won,
mm-hmm.
even though they kind of were outplayed. And I think that it goes back to what I talked about at the beginning of the year, where you've got a team that's relying on several pieces from previous teams that won just two games and that expect to lose, and there's that losing culture. And how do you change that into a winning culture? And how do you change that into doing the little things throughout the course of a game to translate into a win? And that's what didn't happen on Saturday. They're up 14-0, and they couldn't put their foot down and finished the deal.
The fake field goal.
I knew that was coming. I know Bobby loves to run the fake stuff, and I told myself it's only a matter of time before they pull that out. And that's where you just got to get points, or you got to say, you know what, we're pushing you around with Cornette. Let's just get the yard and keep the sticks moving if you're going to not try the kick anyways.
Okay, and it was, I want to say, like 4th and 12. So, you know, going for it.
Was it 4th and 12?
It was.
I thought it was 4th and 1.
No, it was not 4th and 12.
Okay.
Okay, and it was, there was some distance there. Because it was not a straight up, you know, let's just straight go for it.
Okay, well, then I take it away.
So if you didn't feel comfortable with the field goal, I say you punt it, bury him. You are the upper division team playing with a double-digit lead at home. That's not the right call. Like, we've talked about this. I don't like doing the backseat quarterback or Monday morning, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, because you're a reporter. You're not a football coach.
I'm not a football coach. I asked Bobby after the game if he still thought that was the right play call, and he, you know, he said he liked it in the situation. They ran it a bunch in practice, and it worked. You know, and I didn't get to see a replay. It looked like Caleb maybe would have been able to just run for it, but instead he, you know, threw to Jordan Sparkman, the defensive end who used to be a tight end. And it was one-on-one coverage, all that stuff. But it's just not the right situation for that at all. And it gives NAU a big boost. They go into halftime still down just 14 to nothing. Then the punt return was their first possession of the second half, and all of a sudden it's 14 to 7. And like I said, once NAU's defense stopped the run, once they got Cornette under control, UNLV just laid down. Like, I didn't understand it.
Very, very conservative play calling. You're listening to LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk every 7 a.m. on Tuesdays right here on 91.5. In fact, every Tuesday at 7 a.m., our reporters from the Sun wake up early, hence why we're waking up with the Sun, to talk with you, Las Vegas, sports, business, news, politics, whatever it may be. Today we're talking sports, the UNLV football team's loss, and Case Kiefer, you cover gambling for the Sun as one of your many utility duties. And I knew there was a red flag when I logged onto my handy-dandy phone app and UNLV was only favored by 12 points. And I'm like, shouldn't they beat this team? I thought they were going to win by four touchdowns.
Four touchdowns was ridiculous. I thought I saw 14.
Yeah, I thought it was 14.
Okay, I thought I saw 12. But say 12 to 14 points – to me, it seemed like, now UNLV's not blowing anybody out, but NAU had lost by 60 points the week prior.
But that's Arizona State. There's a
I know big that I hate saying this after the fact, but I thought 14 was right, and I actually thought about teasing and taking Northern Arizona by a little bit, because if you look at the Arizona State game, they lost their top quarterback and running back. UNLV, this is part of the problem. I don't think it's just the whole losing culture to winning culture. Are their players better than Northern Arizona? Yes. I didn't even see the game, and I can tell you that. But they aren't that much better to where an upset is this huge deal. And that's the problem. If you go back and look at the beginning of the year, I wrote a column that kind of put out all my thoughts on this. Hauk has excuses for the first 2 years. There are no more excuses this year. These are his guys out there. He hasn't sold the program well enough. He hasn't recruited to get guys that are good enough in here that can consistently beat a Northern Arizona, I guess. I mean, they should beat this team, but they aren't that much better to where they're going to beat them every time. I think that's a huge problem. I haven't said much, but I'm just so down on this program. I just want to rip into everyone. I'm so fired up is how embarrassing this is. I've been around a little bit more these last couple of weeks. I went to the first game. I went to Bobby's Monday press conference, and I've just been bothered by some of the things they've said. The Minnesota game, Minnesota's awful too. UNLV had chances to win. But afterwards, I think there were some real concerns. They gave up just a ton of yards to Minnesota. Really, score-wise, it should have been more. And Hauk was dismissive of that the first night, which I kind of understood. I mean, you're a football coach, you dismiss it. But then we ask him about it again Monday, and he's still dismissive. He brings up this, I'd like to remind you, it's a points game, not a yards game, for the second time. And that just makes me scratch my head and just... that's like if you're a band and you're recording an album and you say, this is the only thing that matters are the songs, not the instruments. Well, you can't do without one without the other, dummy. So I just, it so much bothers me about this. I can't believe you've lost to Northern Arizona and Southern Utah within a year. I don't even know what else to say.
I mean, what bothers me, and you guys know that I've been the one guy in local media and the one person who I've said it over and over, if Bobby can't get it done, then I don't know if anybody could win here.
And I've always thought that was ridiculous.
I still think it's a ridiculous statement.
And now I'm starting to think that It's ridiculous. What kind of and I got to watch the game as a fan on Saturday, and I got to kind of, for me, the two things that stood out were just glaring. And one was that if you looked at the players, forget what color jerseys NAU had on in UNLV. If you lined both of those guys up, you couldn't tell what team was the D1 team.
I don't think that's true.
In my opinion, I was watching. In my opinion, I just thought that, and it brought me to recruiting. And I'm looking, and I go and I look at Bobby's three recruiting classes, and it's kids that picked UNLV over Weber State, Southern Utah, Eastern Washington. They're kids that he recruited when he played at when he was the coach of Montana. Well, this isn't Montana.
You were so high on this year's recruiting class.
I've always. Yeah, I was. You're right.
So just there's one not game one, and you're there, flipping
no, no,
on
no.
that?
There's not. Well, it's kind of tough right now for the class that just happened. I think they really hit a few home runs with the Williams kid, the receiver, the two kids from Gorman. I think they'll be okay. You can't judge 2012 right now, but I'm looking at 2011 and 2010.
But you already knew that those weren't good recruiting classes or weren't, you know, but building.
My problem is that still, and even when you kind of look at the class that he just had, even though I liked it, is that he's getting kids that aren't even being recruited by other schools that play on the same level. And then when you go to the game and you look at the play calling and you're like, well, can we at least try to take the ball outside the hash marks with somebody that could run, and you realize they have nobody that could run. Marcus Sullivan's got the bad hamstring. He's a Mike Sanford guy, FYI, and your only fast guy, right? Eric Johnson's in Coach Houck's doghouse, and shoot, he's too small to do much and has been a little bit of a disappointment. And they don't have anybody, in my opinion, that's quick enough. And then my second point, I'll let you guys talk. LasVegasSun.com sports talk. I know you're both chomping at the bit. Let me just finish. My second point, I might be done for the show. My second point is that my dad, who is 69 years old, loves Ohio State football, moved his family out to Vegas like 40 years ago and has become a UNLV fan, sent the best text of all time to me when he woke up Sunday morning. He goes, "That's ridiculous. The ball boy at Ohio State makes more money than UNLV's assistant coaches, and he probably knows more football." And it kind of opened my eyes to a little bit that, and I went on the UNLV Human Resources website and I looked up at some of the salaries, and there's like three or four coaches that make more than six figures. So across the board, this football program is like Northern Arizona, financially, the facilities, the coaching, and the players. And I love Bobby. I think he's a great guy, and I still think that he could do the job. I still think he deserves, and I know you guys will laugh, and I know everybody will laugh. I still think that he deserves another go run out of it, even though you got to admit, even me, that it was bad on Saturday. Go ahead. You guys talk.
I don't necessarily. We can jump into what. Case, you say something, because we'll jump into Bobby's future in a little bit.
Well, that was just so ridiculous, because I have like six things to respond to Brewer that I wanted to say, but I forgot some of them. I think he's going to get another year no matter what, even though I would be number one, top of the list, saying that he shouldn't. I think he should finish out this year and see if anything good can happen. I don't think it's going to. Also, God, I'm trying to think of all you said. I actually agree with what you're saying about these recruiting classes, but it's just so amazing. I'm like trying not to smile hearing it from you. I remember the first year I was here, he had the most disastrous recruiting thing ever. We looked like 2 weeks before recruiting, he had signed four guys. He signs all these just guys that had no business being in a D1
school. Right off
school.
The scrap heap, yeah.
And guess who was defending him? Ray Brewer. Well, so it's nice to see you finally come around and admit what we all saw.
And then I guess in Bobby's defense, that first recruiting class – He remember, UNLV didn't have an AD, so they got to get an AD before they could get a football coach, and he comes in the day before Christmas. You're listening to LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, trying to figure out what's wrong with UNLV football, and it'll ever be fixed. We agree for the first time, the three of us, that they need to get better players.
Well, we've always agreed on that. Like, that's never been an issue.
All three of us agreed for the first time.
I don't understand how this is, like, news all of a sudden. They've always had to get better players. They have better players right now than Northern Arizona did, and they screwed up on Saturday. They played terribly in the second half. The defense overall, it wasn't that bad, But, you know, because it was a punt return touchdown, which was kind of fluky. They just outkicked the coverage and then just let him go north-south.
He outkicked the coverage because he read the story on LasVegasSun.com.
About how great he is.
Where you talked about how great he is. Now he's thinking, wow, I'm getting to the league. I'm going to kick it as far as I can. His first punt, he kicked it all the way to my house on Tropicana.
All right, maybe that one's my fault then. Okay. But the touchdown drive, the second one, it starts off with a pass interference. On 3rd and 10, could have ended, but Sidney Hodge, another pass interference. And then it, all of a sudden, you know, Northern Arizona's got more life. They go for it on 4th down. Defense still can't stop them. And then they eventually get in. And then you look at the final drive, a minute 16 left. They're at their own 14. Seems like Northern Arizona, let's just go for overtime, any of this. And, you know, that may be what they were trying to do. They just ran the ball. And then the defense gave him a 25-yard gain. So all of a sudden, of course, NAU is like, well, you know, let's try and win this. 2 plays later, hands to the face penalty on UNLV, moves the ball into UNLV territory, and then that's all she wrote. A 30-yard gain to another wide-open receiver. They just collapsed. Overall, they're – yeah, I need
– the secondary's awful.
We knew that coming in. Okay, the secondary is awful.
They're even worse than we thought.
I've always said – this defense, it has been dependent on these athletic but unproven defensive ends getting some pressure, because if they don't, the secondary is not good enough to hold them off. They're just not. That's still my opinion, and I think this, you know, definitely proves that that's the case, but it also doesn't say much that the front defensive ends didn't really get very much pressure on it. It's just you can nitpick absolutely everything about this game, this team, because it was just awful. The play calling, I just did not understand. We've talked about UNLV throwing the ball deep. I think in the 2 games, there's been essentially 2 deep passes from Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
First one against Minnesota was picked off like it was a punt return. The second one could have been picked off, and then they were just like scared to do it again. You know, you can put a bunch of blame on the receivers for dropping some passes that would have been first downs, could have kept drives moving. Maybe that eventually softens the defense so that Cornette can get going again. But he had over 100 yards in the first half, finished with the career high, I think about 141, maybe it was 137. But all of it was early, and then they just had nothing. It's like the team just gave up.
I mean,
which is the most I think that's more important for this team and this program than the fact, you know, whether you want to debate whether they have the players or not. It's the fact that either because of the play calling, the guys on the field, everything, they just collapsed.
That's what bothers me the most, just because, not to get off topic here, but so many coaches, and I don't think Halk is actually guilty of this, but blame the media for coming up with these stories and, oh, you're coming up with the ridiculous narratives. You want to talk about ridiculous narratives? For 2 weeks, everything I've seen is Bobby Halk selling, oh, this, we got the bad seeds out of here, we got the malcontents out of here, that we're so much better, we're a tougher-minded team, which I kind of rolled my eyes at, because some of those kids that they're, I think, labeling as malcontents and bad pieces, Philip Payne, for example, was your best player last year. Now look what happens. You're so much tougher minded. You're so much better, and you collapse and you quit playing in the second half. So quit selling me that. If you go to that press conference today and they tell you about how we have guys in this locker room that are just so much committed to getting better and we're tougher than we've been in past years, I'm going to puke. That makes me sick. I hate that they've sold me this narrative, and I think it proved in the Northern Arizona game that it is not real.
Can they come back from this year? There's 11 more games. That's almost a full season. But you're coming off of back-to-back losses where you could have, or in the case of Northern Arizona, absolutely should have won. How do you bounce back from that? I'm looking at this schedule. I don't know if I see 2 wins left on it.
You know, they're going to have to steal a game if they're going to win the 2. I mean, the New Mexico game is clearly the most winnable game.
Mark up as a win, hopefully, but
it's the most winnable game. The question is, how do you salvage the season? And moreover, for the coach, how do you salvage your job here at UNLV?
Do you think he's week to week at this point?
I don't think his performance is the number one factor in this job unless he does something really stupid off the field. Because I don't think UNLV has enough money to
pay him to bring somebody else in.
Who they would have to pay more to. And yep, not just him. You know, he's got 12 assistants that combined probably make $1 million. that you'd have to take care of as well, because they're probably all under contract along with him. So UNLV just doesn't have the economics for it. Bobby, forget about the X's and O's. He's a good guy. He's not going to go ruin you in the community, and he's doing all of his appearances. And I mean,
forget about X's and O's. How can you even say
I'm
that?
I'm just saying,
at this point,
if he was a jerk, then you would say, okay, well, now we've got this loose cannon who every time he goes out, people are going to pepper him about his job and about his bad performance, and he could snap. Then you got to look at it and say, okay, well, maybe we got to bring this guy in. But what are you going to do? You're going to get rid of the guy after two. It's the second week in September. You get rid of the guy. Who are you going to bring in the interim? Mm-hmm. I think let the guy try to salvage his season and then take a look at it at the end of the year and see if you want to pony up the money to get rid of him and go another direction. And if you do go another direction, who could you get? People are like, well, let's get Bobby Petrino. Okay, first of all, Bobby Petrino is not going to come to Las Vegas.
I heard that in the press box.
For $300,000 a year.
And I literally laughed out loud.
Okay, so who are you going to be able to get for around the same salary to complete the job?
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
First of all, I think he's going to get to the end of the year, and I think that's right, because nothing's going to change anyway if you fire him now. Two, you're talking about where they can steal a game. I hate to even say this, but I think they have a chance on Friday because Washington State is just as awful as UNLV. So they could beat Washington State. Who could you get? I think you could get someone good. Now, you and our UNLV reporter at the time, Ryan Green, laughed at me when I said they made the wrong call when they hired Houck. The finalists were Houck and Dennis Franchione. If Franchione was here right now, I guarantee he's won more games. I guarantee he has better players than Houck. You can get a guy like that, and is he the long-term answer? Absolutely not. But can he have a few winning seasons, maybe get you to a bowl game? I think so. I think that's the kind of guy you can go after. And for UNLV, would it really be so bad to have 1 year where you go 7-5 and go to the Las Vegas Bowl? I don't think so.
Well, Dennis was going to bring in a bunch of kids from his son's JC team. It was going to be he came in. He just wasn't the right fit. You know,
I still think they should have hired him. I mean, look,
Houck was going to build from the ground up with some high school kids.
I talked to somebody earlier today that's one of the biggest credits I'll give Houck is that he wasn't trying to just build something quickly with JC guys and do that. You know, very few coaches, I think, can do that and have a successful long-term program with it. You know, Bill Snyder comes to mind. But, you know, he's attempting to build a foundation and make the program, and it's just, you know, it's not working.
They got to get some guys who could do something with the ball in their hands. I mean, with the exception of Cornette, which a lot of his gains are relying on somebody blocking for him, they have nobody who could take it to the house. I mean, nobody who could make a move in the open field. I mean, literally, Sullivan.
Well, they've got to catch the ball before they can even do that, too.
And I told everybody at the beginning of the year, I thought the wide receivers were going to be troublesome. Oh, Devontae Davis, this guy in the slot, Sullivan Long. I'm like, you got three guys that have combined for like four catches. Your leading guy going into the year was Cornette. Mm-hmm. And now you got a first-year quarterback who, mind you, the verdict is still out on this guy.
He looked a lot better on Saturday.
No, he improved. I definitely agree with you. From week one to week two, he improved. Mm-hmm. He seems to be the right guy. But anybody could throw the ball 12 yards. We need to throw the ball 20 yards every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we need to have the threat of throwing the ball 20 yards. Because you know what? When there's nine people in the box and you've got one guy on your team that could do something, on week 8 or 9, after this guy has carried the ball 59,822 times, his body might wear down a little bit, and then you're going to be in trouble. My humble opinion.
This is such a mess. I cannot believe I'm this fired up about it, but I'm sitting here realizing these are like the conversations three people like us have been having for the last, 15 years.
Forever with UNLV
football. This is so ridiculous. I love Las Vegas. I want people here to have a football team to root for. There's no reason that UNLV can't
Bishop
at least be
Gorman.
Decent, and they're terrible. They're so bad. Something's got to change, and it just sickens me what's going on right now.
LasVegasSun.com, sports talk, talking UNLV football here on a Tuesday morning. You're right, Case. It's disgusting. UNLV deserves a better football team. What about these extremists that say UNLV should just fold up the tent on football altogether.
No, that's just dumb.
I think that's dumb too. I don't know if you need a football.
I don't give anybody. Most people who are saying that are just saying it to get a rise out of somebody else. That's not even worth mentioning.
Okay. Well, all right. Football's the Cadillac that drives the bus, but knocks it right off the schedule. Looking ahead to the Washington State game, they're not that good, but last year they looked pretty good against UNLV. If UNLV Taylor wins this game on Friday night, which, mind you, is on ESPN,
yeah,
does that erase what happened on Saturday?
No.
You don't even give a thought about it?
It's well, no, it right doesn't away. Erase it. Of course not. Okay. It's a big help, and they honestly, they need it. They need it bad for their own psyche, for just everything moving forward. They need this because this is their last win. I watched Air Force in the Big House yesterday or on Saturday. They're not winning that game. When Air Force comes in opening the conference. So this is, it would be a huge help for Hauk, for the players, for everybody. I don't know that they can get it done.
For the university.
Washington State, one of the only things that they can do somewhat well is pass the ball. And we just talked about the secondary for UNLV. And
not as good as you'd think.
A lot of holes. I know Washington State's a terrible team. I'm aware of this. But, they might be able to pass all over UNLV.
I think it'd be a disaster for the program if they win, because then it's not going to delete what happened last week, but then we're going to go back to the same thing I just went on a rant on, like, oh, look how tough-minded.
I really don't think it
look jumped, how tough-minded these
I don't think
kids
it jumps
are.
Back that quickly.
Okay, maybe not that quickly, but still it gives them something. And maybe the program thing is overstated, but it's going to make me even more sick to have to listen to how tough these kids are and how resilient they are.
How they bounced back.
Yeah, and when they're playing a really bad team, and I think they have a really good chance to win. I think it's going to be a close game. But, yeah.
What happens if they lose by, like, 21?
Then it's an absolute disaster, and it just up a level. I just do think if they win, I think it deletes a little bit of what happened last week, and I don't think any of what happened last week should be erased.
Yeah, I mean, clearly it's unacceptable. Not the only football game in town, though, on Friday night. Gorman also plays Bergen Catholic on national TV. If you didn't have to work and you were you got to work too. All right, I was going to see what game you would rather watch, Bergen Catholic, Gormer, UNLV, Wazoo.
Mike Leach.
I'd go to UNLV, Wazoo, just because I think it's going to be pretty competitive, and obviously the play is a little bit higher level. I might have picked the Gorman game last week when they were playing NAU, but look how that turned out.
I still can't believe that happened.
LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, wrapping up the show here on a Tuesday afternoon.
Morning.
Tuesday morning. Feels like an afternoon almost.
Just time doesn't fly when you're talking about Bobby Hauk.
Yes. Yeah, and UNLV. And
it's just stagnant.
It's just a dumpster fire.
This
right
time
now.
Next week, you guys will be singing his praises probably.
maybe you will.
When have you ever heard me sing his praises? Thank you. Ever.
Ever. What about after they beat Reno this year in the Fremont Canning game?
Yeah, how's that bet looking out
that
for
plus
you?
16?
Plus 16. It doesn't look like I'll be catching that one anytime soon. Folks, thanks for listening. LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk.